Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Welcome to the Monday Scrum, coming to you before the Easter Monday clash between Parramatta and West Tigers at CommBank Stadium, bathed in beautiful sunshine. It's a wonderful day to watch some footy in air conditioning. Adam Peacock alongside Brent Reed, James Graham and Aaron Woods. Gents, how was Easter? Woodsy, fun day down in Wollongong on Saturday for you.
Yeah, it started off real great. we got smashed in reserve grade and first grade didn't play too much better than what we did. So best part about the weekend was having an Easter egg hunt on Sunday. And I think I stole all my young bloke's eggs and was in a chocolate coma later that night.
Yeah, mad if you don't. James, how are you?
I'm doing well. Lots of football, lots of eggs, lots of chocolate. And I just can't help myself.
Do you eat them? Do you keep eating them today? I try to put a limit, no more after last night.
Oh,
impossible.
If there was one here, I wouldn't say no.
Brent Reed, plenty of stories as well across the Easter weekend too.
What's going on? Yeah, no. I've been eating chocolates for weeks. They've had them in the shops
we can
for
tell.
3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Come on. I thought it was just
no
Vegas.
For that. Anyway, love Easter. Had a swim down at Manly this morning, Adam.
First sledge, yeah.
Hopefully you were.
Nice actually, place that would have been.
So good.
Are you a budgie smuggler wearer?
No, he wears 40, three-quarter 40. 40s and a rashi.
Well done.
Sun safe. It's smart.
Are you a budgie man, Jimmy?
Oh, my good God, no.
Budgie would be.
I get the hairy chest out, boys. Don't worry.
That's a mental image, I don't need.
Hang on. That's the first thing America saw when he came on air with the Vegas guy. The big bear through the woods.
Welcome to Rugby League, boys.
This is Rugby League. We've got Reedy's Mail a bit later on, a bit doing as well. We'll get to the bottom of the Mitch Pearce situation with Parramatta. But first of all, guys, let's start with a bit of footy. And the Warriors win over the Knights. And RTS, yeah, it's good to have him back in Rugby League and playing like that because he is elite in the elite bracket. And goodness knows what this footy team can be with him, Sean Johnson, Adam Fanua Blake, and a couple of others doing their best. The Warriors, that feeling they got in New Zealand about rugby league could only grow.
It's so good for the game, isn't it? Watching, you know, the New Zealand Warriors, everyone getting robbed behind up the wires. I think I've seen celebrity Jack Black wearing a Warriors jersey throughout the week, getting robbed behind it. But
he had a Penrith one the other day.
Yeah, he was just.
He's like Tim Zoo.
Playing to the crowd.
He'll wear whatever jersey you put in front of him.
Oh, right, yeah, negative. But. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 29 runs for 290 metres. The bloke's had 2 years off. They tried to ease him back in through centre and then gets thrown at fullback, obviously, you know, with the fullback going down last week. The performance he put in was outstanding, boys. You know, there's a couple of times where he's bringing the ball back. Poor old Matt Croker didn't even get close to him. You don't know if he's going to step left, step right, or he's going to run straight over you. In that same passage, I think he came off his left, he beat Matt Croker, left again, Brett Hetherington, and then just squared up, I think, was it Jaden Brayley or someone, and just, boom. Mate, he's one of the hardest blokes to tackle, but so good to see him back in the game. Like, we really missed him when he went to rugby union.
Jimmy, do you remember your battles in trying to contain a guy like that, running through the middle? I mean, if he runs out wide, he's going to cause an effect, but especially through the middle as well, he's just so destructive.
Well, you get asked that quite a lot, who's the hardest person to tackle? Like, and they expect you to say, you know, a Sam Burgess, a Nelson Asafa Solomona. It's not. It's people like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Yep. They're the hardest to tackle. And, you know, if a big guy runs through you, you go, oh, fair enough. But Roger can embarrass you. He can make you jump at shadows. And that's exactly what he did yesterday. He was fantastic in the fullback position. I do think, however, Coach Andrew Webster will resist the temptation to keep him there. I think Charles Nicol-Cluckster will come back in and play fullback, and because I think the Warriors have more threats. Because Roger's going to have an impact wherever he plays, but I think they're better with him at centre overall and Charles Nicol-Cluckster at fullback.
Charles has played a bit of centre as well, though, hasn't he? So is there a chance during games, maybe, depending on the flow of the game, whether they flip those blokes around, they both spend time at fullback, maybe both spend time in the centre, and that way you get almost the best of both worlds.
Well, 10 years ago, Mitch Pearce, and we'll get to Mitch a bit later on, did a podcast with him earlier today, the halves one with Todd Carney. He said in the 2013 season, the Roosters identified how good he was, so he was wing, but then they'd put Minicello out to wing when they had the opportunity to get good ball to make an impact. So, yeah. I mean, it's great for Andrew Webster to have all these options in front of him.
He's got a good team on his hands there, I think. The Warriors are a different side when Wade Egan plays.
Oh, definitely.
He was
so hard to
welcome
defend.
Back. And
then his knee looked like it went yesterday. It was like, uh-oh, everyone took a breath.
Yeah, poor old Luke Metcalf.
They haven't really hit their straps yet, though, the Warriors, don't you think?
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean.
They look as though they're going to. They did it the first week against Cronulla.
They start off really well, don't they? Look like they're going to go on with it,
and then suddenly they almost hit a wall.
Yeah,
and
they should have beat Melbourne in Melbourne.
They stopped playing almost.
Yes, yeah.
That game, they left it too late to come back. So it feels like they haven't really put together the big 80-minute performance yet,
Jimmy just said, a big loss, Luke Metcalf as well.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah,
that one, yeah.
He looked like Wade Egan at one stage went down,
and he looked in trouble, and that was after Luke Metcalf went down. Yeah. He had the green whistle, I think, and he was has it come out? A broken leg, has it?
Or no, I haven't checked, actually. Should have checked that for some miles, shouldn't I? They're lucky they've got Chanel.
Fractured his tibia already. Fractured his tibia.
Is it confirmed?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. Fraction.
It was so. It was so innocuous.
It was just a tackle from Tom. Normal tackle.
You should have told me that off air, and I could have used that as a male.
No, well, he's not your friend. He's your enemy. Haven't you worked that out yet?
Thanks a lot, Woodsy.
Exactly. That's why you haven't taken us to Mr. Wong's yet. It's all your problem. Your personal problem.
So, you don't fracture tibia. How long is that generally?
I'm not sure.
Hey, just with the Warriors in a general sense. So, I've talked to a few people over in New Zealand. Every time this team plays, it's becoming like an All Black game, oddly enough.
Really?
Especially on New Zealand. It is so big. And so many people I've talked to have gone, yeah, I don't mind my Super Rugby, but I prefer the Warriors. When the All Blacks play, the All Blacks play and the nation stops. But, I mean, we're talking expansion and all these things. Do we play with that? Do we let the Warriors just take over New Zealand by themselves? Or is there a case for another one in another part of New Zealand to double down on that and essentially squeeze rugby union in their backyard over there?
I think there is. Just look at the impact that the Dolphins had in Queensland and Brisbane. Yeah.
You thought it was going to take away, but
it's actually added. The Broncos have never had bigger numbers. Mm. The Dolphins obviously have made a significant impact over there. Now, that doesn't mean because it worked in Brisbane, it would in New Zealand, but I think there's other cities that... You know, they are the New Zealand Warriors, but let's not make any mistake. They're a team based out of Auckland. Mm. So if you could go to one of those areas where, or another city where there was an appetite, I think we could certainly make some inroads.
We saw what it was like in Christchurch last week. I think they sold that game out down in Christchurch. There's two consortiums that want a license.
In New Zealand?
Would Wellington be one? Christchurch. No, they're both in Christchurch.
Oh, Christchurch. Wow.
There's a new stadium being built there, a fully enclosed roof stadium.
Wellington's only got an oval.
Yeah, the cake tin.
I don't think the NRL has an appetite to go there just yet because they're so focused on PNG and confirming that PNG bit. But when they go from 18 to 20...
Yeah.
I think there'll be a second team in New Zealand. Just on Luke Metcalf, I just did a Google.
Yes, well done.
Fractured tibia is generally 4 to 6 months. Ooh. So that would just about be his season. He'd be real tight. He might come back later in the year.
Good that you went over and above with your research. Yeah. Not only the injury,
Google.
But the expected
Google
time.
Doctor.
So Woodsy didn't do
it. Always accurate too, Google, the internet. They won't get it wrong.
Newcastle, a few teams across the weekend who got down to red zones or building past halfway and it was like, oh, what's happening here? And the question still exists, do they not, Jimmy, about what the best combo is to get the best out of Kalyn Ponga in the halves for Newcastle? Didn't look like they quite found it yesterday. What do you reckon the answer is?
Yeah, I agree with you there in the kicking game. Just was poor.
Yeah.
It really was. It was noticeable watching that game. On commentating that game, you do tend to watch things a little closer, and yeah, the kicking game was pretty poor, I think, as well. Without a real dominant half, we do see a lot of 13s take over. Adam Elliott has the ball in his hands a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he's quite the creative style player.
He's more of a runner, Jimmy.
Yeah, he is more of a runner.
Well, you put gold medalist, by that far, it's not funny at the moment, Isaiah Yeo.
Yeah,
so he's a freak.
So you compare Elliott to Yeo, there's Murray at the top. Carrigan does it a little bit, but Carrigan on the weekend, he ran the ball a lot more. And I think maybe Adam Elliott thinks he's got to be that distributor without a real dominant half in there without Jackson Hastings. So,
I mean, you played that role a bit with Dogs, didn't you?
Yeah,
had to slot in at first receiver a bit under
like
theirs.
It
was natural for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how natural it is for Adam Elliott. And obviously, there are some teams that play with that style. Well, Penrith are the prime example, and they do it so well. But Isaiah Yeo is very comfortable, and he mixes it up. I felt Adam Elliott got the balance a little bit out of sync, and it's hard when the target's on Kalen Ponga. That said, when Ponga get space out really wide,
yeah,
especially towards Bradman Best sides on their left, they looked dangerous when they went to their right. You know, if they don't hit Frizzell, there wasn't much happening on that right edge yesterday. So that's an area of concern about how to get Ponga into the action a little bit more. But it's probably not just the halves. It's a bit of there's a fair few areas of concern.
I reckon it's their middle forwards as well. They're not getting the quick rucks, which is allowing the likes of Cogger to play off the back of. And when they do get the ball, they're a slow ruck, and then it's like Cogger's trying to play square like he did when he did it in Penrith, but he's playing a lot pre-line, very similar to what Hastings did, instead of engaging the defensive line.
I think Brayley came off the bench in that game yesterday, and it was noticeable when he came onto the field. The deception in and around the middle third of the field from dummy half that he brought versus a Phoenix Crossland. So I think Brayley still needs a few Ks in his legs.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming off a big injury. But once he is knocking out 80 minutes, Newcastle will start to look different.
And they had Crossland playing that lock role once Brayley was on as well. So that's the other.
They seem to be chopping and changing week to week.
It's like they're not sure on what the best combination is yet.
Does it get to the point now they tried Cogger and Jackson together, potentially in the halves?
Give everyone a go with each other.
That's if he's awake.
What a drama. Gamble hasn't exactly set the world on fire, and he didn't have a great second half yesterday.
I think they're more or less relying on what he did the back end of last year.
And he's off contract, hasn't agreed to a new deal. Can Cogger and Hastings play together, or are they both?
Only time will tell. I think they're both more halfbacks and are very similar. They both demand the ball in the air a lot of the times. Will they get along? You don't know. Like, obviously, they could work together because, you know, he straightens up a lot. They both play real square to the line, but they both demand the ball so many times. So it's a tough one.
Hey, Woodsy, you mentioned there about the slow ruck of Newcastle. Who's your podium 1, 2, 3 for the quickest rucks?
Well, Cameron Murray's the best in the game I've seen. Just getting down. Like, you think you've got him in a good position to take him down. He can wiggle his way and find his front and just get up so quick. Obviously, the power game of two blokes at Penrith, you know, Fisher-Harris, Leota, takes 3 or 4 numbers to get him down. They get down, get up. You've probably got two blokes retreating. Just gives so much time for Zayo, whether he wants to. Looks like he's on his tippy toes. He can step in, can step out.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to do that overs line, bring one of the big boys under, and then he's just so smart. He knows which is the right option every time, and it's so hard. And a lot of the time, he just dummies and pokes his nose through. And I thought that's what Yeo did really well in that Roosters game.
Oh, he froze, like, watching it on Thursday night, watching on the TV, the number of times, and it's only for like half a second, that the whole defensive line freezes. And then that just means that Isaiah can.
But the thing about them, they all know their game so well. So you've got the power game with the outside backs, Tungo, you know, To'o. They just get in, get down. They might not make 10 metres a carry, but they get down, get up, and that just brings everyone straight in the front foot, brings everyone into the game.
You look at the Dogs, Jimmy, on Good Friday. It's a really competitive game. Like, there was a bit of desperation in the air. You could feel it with what South needed to do, and the Dogs, they're building towards something. But was it bloody obvious that in a creative sense, they got Burton as a runner at 6 and that lock position, that halfback position, they don't have that guy to create the space for those runners outside?
Yeah, there was a few times in the game on Good Friday where the Bulldogs, they were in good positions and sort of half opportunities came their way, but they were just missing that last class pass. And sometimes that's exactly what you need. I thought they had enough football to beat South Sydney.
They look more committed.
They do, yeah.
As a unit.
Yeah, and defensively, you know, like any team, they had a couple of lapses, but overall, they were very good defensively. Obviously, going down 12-0 to start the game, backs against the wall, they fought their way back in. Every time they go to their left side, they do look dangerous. But then what South Sydney did, the 3 in defender, the halfback, I think it was Hawkins, on their right edge, was rushing up and balking the playmaker, and the playmaker would just, you know, sort of turn back, think it's a run down a dead end, and then not find a pass. Now, really smart halfbacks will be able to react to the action of the defender, that spooking motion, and either play early or put someone in behind, you know, tell the back row to run a skip line into that hole or whatever it may be. But that just wasn't there, and it was pretty evident from the Bulldogs. But they did a play where they looked like they were going to their left edge, and then they basically just dropped Curtis Moran underneath, and he almost goes under the sticks. He went up as a no try, and rightly so. So those are some of the variations that they can have. But yeah, you look, they're not the only team that are, you know, screaming out for that really creative style half. I think Drew Hutchison does a steady and solid job. But, you know, with that, you are going to miss some of those opportunities that come your way. But I have been impressed with the Bulldogs. They are definitely on the improve. And in terms of South Sydney, they've not played as well all year. They completed it something like 97%, made one uncompleted set.
And that was Jack White making a line break. Just couldn't put the ball in the other hand.
He's just a step too slow, Drew Hutchison. You can see a hole.
Yep.
And he tries to go through it, but he's just a step too slow.
He sees things that can't. Yeah,
he can't. He's not quick enough to take advantage of it. And that, look, I mean, that's who he is, right? That's always been. And
that was on the packet when the Bulldogs bought him.
Exactly.
Yeah, no surprise.
So, you know, he's trying really hard. That whole team is. Not enough Toby Sexton's going to change things for them, because I think he's similar to me. He seems a similar player. He's not lightning fast either. So.
I thought you said he's similar to me, as in like he's like you.
No, over 10 yards.
I thought he said the same thing.
I was like, Toby Sexton's nothing like you, really.
Mate, I'm lightning over 10 yards.
Toby Sexton's a good bloke.
Lightning.
Hey, he played his semi-professional sport.
Five games. Give me a break.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, he is there waiting in the wings, and, you know, maybe Cam Seraldo will be looking at the tape and seeing, you know, if I put Toby Sexton in there, perhaps things might open up.
You can
up
see
a
his
bit.
Frustration. It's palpable when you're around Cameron Seraldo at the moment, because they're better. They're playing better.
Yeah.
They look better.
Defensively, they're so much better.
And they're just missing a bit of cream, a bit of polish to finish it off. You could see his frustration in the press conference. And some of that was with the decisions that went against them. He was obviously disappointed.
They copped a few rough calls early in the game.
He was disappointed with the hip drop that wasn't given, but I didn't think that was so bad. He was disappointed with the little trail hit.
Yeah.
And he was ready to explode, but he just restrained himself, and good on him for doing that. But he's also frustrated they're playing much, I think, better than last year, and they're not getting the results necessarily to show for it.
Their recruitment was done around the bait, and we mentioned it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that okay, the superstar's not on the market, and you read stories about Mitch Moses being targeted and things like that. They missed out, whatever. So then they go, okay, let's go to this plan and get people who are going to lift the standards inside the joint. Okay, Stephen Crichton is class.
Yep.
Is he getting enough ball at the moment? Probably not. But the other players that they brought in, a Kurt Mann, a Hutchison, standards, week in, week out, rock up to recovery, do the right things, every training session for the next game.
And also just... an awareness that they're not that far away.
Yeah.
And in previous years, when the Dogs haven't been that far away, they just give up and capitulate.
Get beat by
60. But then you get the net, and what happens the following week? But when you've got those type of people in the dressing room, they can get around your Kurt Manns of the world, be like, come on, lads, we're not that far away. We've just got to stick at it. Like,
that's the Crichton's really good.
Yeah, so South last week on Good Friday didn't beat themselves. Now they've been guilty of that past couple, or given the opportunity to beat themselves. They played in a way where they've compounded mistakes and shot themselves in the foot. They didn't do that. But then eventually you'll play a team that does.
Yeah.
And you know...
Like Manly on the
Manly, we can play the 53%.
Yeah, you know,
no, it's serious.
So that's what can happen.
Yeah.
But and again, like, they're not that far away. There was a Stephen Crichton moment, and he just missed his assignment on that Jack White and try just before half-time. So this is one of the dark arts of rugby, or some of the things that don't get spoken about. Not dark art. It's, you know, he's on Whiten. It's 2-on-2. He slips AJ away, but...
Yeah.
Crichton's within his rights to tackle him to the ground and take him out of the support play. Now, if he does that, there's no one else with AJ. They stop the try. They get back in scramble. You know, Jack Waiten's going.
Sliding doors.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the run sheet. Why is Manly not on here?
Who will
is
be?
That because Woodsy was on?
Don't worry.
Worried about his record.
No.
I mentioned them, mate.
We need to ask Woodsy about that performance.
Yeah. No,
we it was diabolical.
Will. Yeah. We will. We'll get to it.
Look at you, mate. You've come in with a, you're like, you're not even shaved your beard. Yeah. You look how grumpy you are today.
You've kind of a shot of me about
I'm renowned for a long beard. Have a look at you.
He can grow a beard. I've got doubts over you being able to grow a beard.
That's only a couple of days.
You got your feet on the table. How disrespectful, mate.
Sorry. So, guys, let's get to this. I've been waiting for this for a few days after the Penrith Roosters game. Common sense and the obstruction rule has come into the equation yet again after saying last week on this particular little program that common sense shouldn't come into it. It's purely the rule and stick to the rule. But there were a few things that might have frayed that kind of interpretation, namely the Dylan Edwards one. Now, oddly enough, James Graham, I believe the right decision was made looking back at it.
You say no try?
I would say he was denied a 5% chance of stopping him, but it's still 5%. It's not none percent. So I actually timed it, and this is how ridiculous it's got. But on the front-on shot, before Edwards gets taken out, while Tedesco still has the ball in his hands, Manu hasn't even got the ball. It's 3.5 seconds from then to Manu crushing over. You're telling me that Dylan Edwards can't run 25 metres in 3.5 seconds at full pelt?
But he's denied an opportunity, Adam.
That's why I reckon it was the right call.
Same thing happened in the Manly game. I think Luciano Leilua went through. It was a bit worse, but you look at Olakau'atu, he just falls down, and Suli takes the opportunity. He was just denied an opportunity to make a defensive read. And if you ask me, if I was watching another game, I would have said that's a very harsh call, you know. But Olakau'atu played to the rules. It's there in the rule book. And I agree with you. Like, am I happy with the decision of Dylan Edwards getting the penalty? No, because I don't think he would have got. I don't think he would have saved the try.
But you can't say for certain.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he's denied the opportunity, and he didn't get an opportunity to have a defensive play there.
Yeah, in that Dylan Edwards one as well. Like the difference he makes to the defence if he's a fraction closer, and the defensive actions. Now you could argue, well, it's not going to make any difference, but you don't understand what. The certain cues that come into it in reads and how you tackle and stuff like that based off the presence of another player. So look, our game, this is how it works. We go black and white and people argue for common sense. Some common sense ones don't go the way well, we need black and white. So we're back and forth and the pendulum will swing and it will swing one way or the other.
Where do you want it to be?
One or the other.
You don't care which one, as long as one or the other.
One or the other. I think there's a probable personal preference to black and white, but it's one. If we came out and just said we're going to exercise common sense, and we're going to give this decision to people and say, look, he's not saving that try. It's on, or actually that is one. It's off.
You know what I thought was a bigger blunder. But the Tupanua try at half time. But I reckon they're making up for it.
No, but there was an obstruction where Tupanua was taken out for one of the Taruva tries as well.
Yeah, that one. That was later on in the second half. But I'm saying the Tupanua try.
No conclusive evidence.
Yeah.
I think the ruling was that they gave the try. There was no conclusive evidence that it wasn't a try.
You're kidding. We watched this camera where there was separation.
I don't know. But just back to the obstruction. So 2 weeks ago at this ground, we're sitting here at Combank Stadium. The only problem I had with that was that the bunker didn't check the front on to see if he was actually a chance, because it's a totally different view
under the rules.
This is what I'm saying about common sense and black and white.
Yeah.
You've got to have that front on look for an obstruction every time, because that's the only way of showing whether or not the guy was a chance.
I just
1% chance or better.
But then who decides this?
But the difference is,
if it's Moretti, he's no chance. If it's Cam Murray, maybe he does. If it's Aaron Woods, he's definitely going to close him down.
The problem is, Adam,
not on the weekend.
The problem is, it doesn't matter whether you've got common sense, black and white discretion, doesn't matter, because you're going to have people making the decision, and people will always make mistakes.
Exactly.
People will always have different opinions about whether something should or shouldn't be given. You would get five referees who make a call on that Dylan Edwards one, three probably say it's a try, two probably don't. So what we need to do is just accept that people make mistakes and people have different opinions. That's life.
You're right, really. What is really starting to annoy me now is we're seeing defenders go looking for it.
That's what I was going to say to Jimmy.
But the worry
that's
is, Jimmy,
it's driving me mad. The worry is the frustration.
The reason they got rid of discretion on the one like the Moretti one was because they said that that will encourage people to go looking for contact.
So, they've got rid of that one, Moretti.
So the Moretti one's no discretion on that. That's a black and white call. That if a player runs through a hole created in a defensive line, that's black and white. It's no try.
So what if
there's
now,
no discretion? The Dylan Edwards one's separate. There's discretion with that because it's a sweeping back line move.
As soon as a player gets touched, they're just going to go like this and just go, wow.
Well, the worry is if you allow discretion on the black and white ones, yes, you will have people.
I reckon
down.
I've got a solution.
Go for it.
Right. If you fall to the ground after running into someone,
bumping them,
you have to be stretchered off. And I've said this on the Sunday Simbin. And they're going to be clowns, come on.
Because
we can't be too sure that they're not actually seriously hurt.
It's like the shit shirt at training prevent the biggest dickhead of fracture.
If I run in, you know, if I'm, say, Olakuwatu, who's clearly difficult to knock on his backside by the way he runs. If he runs into someone and falls back, he's got to be stretched off.
Yeah.
Mitch Moses
does it six times a game. There's certain
just
players
run
that
on.
Just run out.
Oh, my goodness me. If someone's fell over like that, they must be hurt.
Because there is actually a way to introduce technology, if you want to, here, guys. I thought about this one. Now, this is going to get shot down in flames from the sky. I'm going to throw it up anyway. That in other sports, you can do anything with technology. So you go front on, you can track the speed of the defender getting across.
It's like ball tracking, too, like Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
So you're going to simulate.
You can run the simulation.
You can run the sim. You can move the guy and see how quickly. They've got the Telstra tracker on all the players. They've got the GPS. Dylan Edwards running 25 k's an hour. What do you got there?
The only thing is, with a thing like a tennis ball and a cricket ball, the rules of physics apply to that at all times. It doesn't have emotion. It doesn't have fatigue.
No, they've got GPS. They've got live tracking on their speed.
Yeah, but they don't know how much emotion there is. I don't like that player. I'm going to get him.
Okay.
You know, so there's where the plan falls down, is that human beings do things in times of need. I would have got there because I was doing it for my teammate. Mm. Woodsy's let me down. I'm going to tie in for him. But I think what it annoyed me that it was penalised and he was suspended. Jerome Hughes, he could have fell over the referee. Instead, he pushes him out of the way, he goes to make a tackle, he makes the tackle, and he gets stood down for a week.
Mm. Yeah.
He should have just fell over.
That'd be great TV, though.
But
can
then he would have
that?
Had to get the stretcher.
while they reviewed the try, you could have your little man simulated trying to make the tackle.
I wouldn't like them to know the pace that we move at, eh, Jimmy?
Then they could 20 k's.
Then they could put up a comparison of
why is he doing 20?
Woodsy coming across to make the cover to tackle and someone else.
And Roger two of us are
checking. Now you're just being mean, Rudy.
You said it.
We've calculated.
We've calibrated that Aaron Woods would have got there on Tuesday.
Yes.
So Aaron would
Roger two of us would check would have made that
two
tackle.
Could have had a shower. That would be sweet.
Okay,
you might be onto something there.
I reckon you just throw it out.
Hopefully, Steve Crawley's listening.
The Fox Tracker. Fox Tracker. There you go. There's a name for it as well. Yeah. I think they've already got that.
They have
some other sport.
Yeah.
No, I see it in AFL. They've got. They can track the player. We should got the technology.
We should do a hotspot for when they fall down too. See how hard they've been hit.
Contact.
Yeah,
that's a good idea too.
Hey, just quickly on Preston. What's the latest on him? Is it 3 weeks or four weeks?
4 to 6, I think. Fractured jaw. So he's out for a while. He played a long time with that, didn't he?
Mate, he did.
Could not believe that wasn't a cat one.
How was he? That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Anyway.
Sure, the NRL will be looking at that closely.
Speaking of Category 1 performances, any excuses emanating from Four Pines Park over what went down? We'll get to it now, Reed.
You just need to hold the ball to give yourself a chance to win.
What you learn in under sixes, isn't it?
Oh, mate, we just couldn't. I think we completed 55%. When do you see Tommy Turbo drop 3 in a game of footy, let alone one?
Have you ever seen it in training?
I've never seen it in training, mate. He'd probably drop 1 at most. And, I think he was frustrated himself. You're watching his performance, then he started to sort of, not doubt himself, but his confidence was a little bit low, and he got in the dummy half. He threw a forward pass to Big Paseka. Just the fundamentals, we were off. Don't know the reasoning behind it, because both grades were. It wasn't just like first grade. Reserve grade played exactly the same.
Yep.
Back to the drawing boards for us. It was, are we believing our own hype at the moment, listening to a lot of other people? That's a game we should have won. If you're looking on your calendar and when you come up against the Dragons, no disrespect to where they are, they're the games you need to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right there, Woods. You know, if Manly have got top four aspirations, yeah. You know, it will be tight every year like it always is, and you don't want to be looking back going, how do we blow that game?
Yeah.
Down at Wollongong, the Dragons are not expected to do much, but I think you do have to give some credit to them.
Oh, they're up.
You know, Shane Flanagan obviously worked at Manly last year. You know, we spoke to him yesterday on the Sunday Simbin about the Ben Hunt kick back for Tyrell Sloan, so he knows when Trbojevic is in the line on the short side, there's an opportunity there, because generally speaking they'll fill the short side with the hope that you don't go there, it's the illusion, or you go long and then they can get back to their usual assignment. If they park themselves on the big side, they can cover that kick, but he parked himself on the short side, so it leaves them exposed. There's a lot of space in behind the ruck there for the kick, so that was great tactical. That was a real coach's try, a training ground try, a set piece sort of routine practice, like Ben Hunt and Tyrell Sloan. I think we'll do that a lot, and you'll see that throughout the year. But you know, the Manly Sea Eagles, you're probably right, it's one of those, like, the focus point. If you look at their two victories versus their two defeats, I think most experts in terms of the teams that they've played. So if you said Manly are going to play South Sydney, the Roosters, Parramatta and the Dragons, they win two and they lose two.
You'd flip the results.
You'd pick the two that they've lost and be their wins, and the wins would be their losses. Mm. So
I think, Jimmy, for us, it was the intensity. You know, the Dragons, the last 2 weeks, they've been questioned. Obviously, they gave themselves a chance against the Cowboys. They're up 18-4. They dropped the ball with the line wide open. Then the Cowboys ended up putting, I think it was 40 unanswered points against them. And like you said, Flano came up against his old squad. Like, we knew that they'd be up for it, because we played him in a trial at Brookvale.
It was a scrimmage sort of thing,
yeah. And
Flano came out and said, you're basically going to win the comp.
No, he just said we went all right. But they were off. You were there that day, to Reedy as well. Like, the Dragons missed the beat that day. They didn't get a jump.
Terrible, yeah.
But like you said, with that try with Tommy Turbo, that's not a worry for me. It's the blokes on the inside that didn't block Sloan that gave him a free path back, with some that we speak about. We have, like, little indicators in our game. And, you know, like I said, for both grades, they were off by a mile. You know, it was our little effort areas that were down by a long way. And that's the thing. When you play those sides that you should win, they've got to be up.
That's elite level middle forward stuff, that, though, Woodsy.
I know,
you've got the eyes to be able to see, well, if Tyrell Sloan's there and he's running like that, he's not just going to try and support.
But you also know.
Something's on here.
Ben Hunt's the key indicator on that side. Like, no disrespect to Kyle Flanagan, who's going to get the ball more times than not?
But then,
down the short side.
So most middle forwards would be in that situation would look up and say, oh, they've gone the short side. Sweet. I can have a playoff. Good. I can rest. No, you can't.
Yeah, you can say that. But things that we look at as a Manly side, our Manly mentality, what we call it, things that we look for in a group, they were down, and that's a big area of our group.
But on that, Woodsy, you're expecting a lot. If you think most front rowers are not going to fall into the trap in that stage of the game to be like, I can have a playoff.
I agree, but there's something that we worked on throughout the week was where we would nominate where Sloan is, because he's so fast. They always do kickbacks. If you watch their video in the last previous weeks, he's a huge threat for them. And there's something that we hadn't.
I just think you're asking a lot of some front rowers to.
Oh, you definitely do.
There's some that would be aware of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And some have had the capability, especially when fatigue sets in.
But if you go back and watch the clip, not one of our middle forwards move.
Yeah.
And that's the disappointing thing. That's what I'm saying. Our movements in the game.
Do you think that was any way a hangover, Woodsy, from the week before here, where you were up 14-0 or whatever and threw the game away?
I'm not sure. The boys had a great week of training. It's hard to pinpoint it, because
long bus ride, 2 hours from Brookvale to Wollongong.
Yeah, we did stay down there the night before.
Okay, so take that out of it.
It does give you good preparation.
You got a Waves nightclub Friday night. No, it's Good Friday. Might have been closed. Yeah, no excuse at all.
No excuse, mate.
At all.
Going into Easter as well.
Canberra. Geez, they were looking good at 18-0.
Again, yeah, they threw that away. I mean, they threw it away, didn't they?
Did they throw it away, or Cronulla wake up?
When you're 18-0 up, you always throw it away.
Okay.
I think, if you're 18-0 up, don't.
It's a fair scoreline to be up by.
Yeah, against a depleted forward.
Massively depleted.
That's exactly right.
That's why Ricky Stewart was so annoyed.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, well done, Cronulla. That's, like, that's a spray at his boys. And I think he went as far as saying that. Like, he blew up at one of the journalists for saying, oh, Tomoko was solid today. He was like, no one was solid. Yeah. He was fuming because he knows 2 points
have
gone
there. They didn't look like getting out of their own half after they got to 18 points there, I reckon, Jimmy. Like, it was just a complete different Canberra side after they got to 18. It was like they just shut up shop.
I don't know why journos, after a clearly disappointed coach comes in and tries, the journo tries to play the psychologist and tries to cheer up the coach. It's like, no. The coach is in a deep valley of angst.
It's better if they blow up anyway. Yeah. We prefer a blow up from a coach.
Oh, so you
it's
just always dangle just the carrot in front of them. Oh,
see how they go.
That's horrid thinking.
Well, you know, you want to get their true feelings,
yeah,
don't
you? Well,
a true reflection of their mood.
What do you think of that? You don't say, oh, geez, you were good. What do you think?
Well, he was giving a player a run. Maybe Tomoko, did Tomoko go okay? Or go,
must have had fantasy points.
He seemed to go all right when I was watching. Anyway, Ricky's prone to the odd blow-up. He's always good value when he loses the plot, Rick.
I got a feeling it could be an attitude adjustment week for Canberra this week on the training field. What the... F moment. I nearly said it for the first time ever. WTF moment of the round. Woodsy, you can go first. You're up the end there.
Well, I had one, but obviously I think it was similar to what your one was.
No, take it.
I got another one. It's our good mate here, Mr. Peabody.
What's happened now?
He's a celebrity, boys. He's a celebrity now. He come in. I did what did we do? The call on Friday. And he come in and he goes, I was walking down the entertainment quartet down at,
Quartet.
And he's been spotted. Someone yelled out, Mr. Peabody. Our man is a celebrity, boys.
No, what did he yell out exactly?
Peabody.
Oh, Peabody. Hey, Peabody.
No respect.
And you know just what, mate? You're Peabody. Getting some traction. James Hooper just,
oh,
you know.
Oh, great. Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
You'll probably get mentioned another 10 more times on NRL 360 this week, which I cannot wait for.
Just what I want to be known by, Mr. Peabody. How good. Jimmy. They tried to get me on yesterday.
And can I say something?
Yes, yes.
It is a nickname from our great mate Anthony Maroon. He started it.
Yeah,
they tried to get me on yesterday and I could smell a stitch up coming. And I was on the golf course. I said, no, I'm playing golf with my son. Sorry, lads.
How'd you play?
I played all right, actually.
Oh, good.
My son's mate just finished 18.
Yeah.
He's 16 years old. He played with us. Shot even par.
Ish.
For 9 holes.
Hang on.
Not bad.
Not my son. Your son's
you
friend.
You didn't come on Sunday Simbin yesterday?
No.
It wasn't a stitch up. Legit, we had some stuff to ask you.
No, it was a stitch up, Jim.
It wasn't. I swear we were.
Was Hoops on?
He was.
He was, yeah. There was a Peabody reference coming, wasn't there? You know there was.
I was told. I genuinely don't.
What legitimate stuff are you going to ask me, Jimmy?
We were going to ask you about Pierce.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that in the mail.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Jimmy, WTF, what do you got?
WTF. Oh, I know what it was. Penrith, Cleary out. The odd swing was insane.
Yeah.
Roosters become the favourites. Well, what do the bookmakers know? What do we all know? What do all the experts know that put a line through them? Can't do it without Cleary. Like,
yes, they can.
Wow. Yes, they can. Their record is actually insane. It wouldn't surprise me to see Ivan drop him.
Jimmy, what about Snyder?
Like look at the evidence.
They do have a good
like, you know, Nathan going, I'm the best player in the world, Dad. But look at these percentages, though. So,
yeah, go
I've got a better record with Luai than they have.
How good was Snyder, but?
It's
a system.
Maybe they'll
just bang.
Maybe they'll go to the Tigers and say, "Do you want Nathan instead?"
On the bus,
you like you need you need evidence, right? So there's evidence to back up. In all seriousness, though, like the caliber of player that Nathan Cleary is, and we speak about those, you know, those finishing touches on try line, that last class pass, he does that better than anybody. And you know, for Penrith to find a way to win. without him at the helm, was absolutely sensational. Luai, yo, all stepped up. Dylan Edwards was amazing. That try he scored. It was brilliant build-up. And then with a little bit of individual brilliance, you know, Edwards is known as an effort player, but that was sublime skill. That reminded me of James Tedesco 4 or 5 years ago. That try was sensational. So my WTF moment is Penrith without the best player in the world and the odds swing significantly. Bang, they still win.
Well, James Fisher, Richard Harris was the best player in the world last year. He got the boot, and Nathan Cleary as well. Reedy.
Look, I want to go back to Thursday night.
Yeah?
Is it Thursday? The booing of Latrell Mitchell.
No, it was Friday.
Friday. Can we just stop, please? It's gone too far. It just happens every time now he takes the field. I don't mind it, the odd one here and there, but it's just constant. Every time he touches the ball, just leave the bloke alone. Let him play his footy.
Opposition
Can we cut
fans.
It out? Please. I'm launching a public appeal for people to stop booing Latrell.
James Graham, I'm pretty sure when people like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Steven Gerrard went and played in adverse atmospheres, I'm not sure they were throwing rose petals and I'm just bringing in another sport here.
You think they were constantly booed, though, individually? I don't think they were.
David Beckham?
Yeah. Well, Bex was after the Argentina thing.
Yeah, but Latrell's the outspoken
character.
He was
booed by his own fans.
Yeah, but that it happens. It's sport.
Yeah, but eventually it stopped. This shows no signs of stopping.
Well, I thought Beckham went for 2 years.
I thought...
That was bad, Beckham.
Yeah.
Latrell only started getting booed after that challenge on Addo Carr.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Happens in games.
I thought he got it earlier than that.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I thought that was the catalyst for it.
I wasn't at the game. You couldn't tell.
No,
on
I think
coverage,
it started. So. Well, I think it started earlier.
Yeah, maybe it did. I mean, I don't know.
WTF for me, Tim Zoo.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
That was like a Rambo movie.
I was sad.
It was like the big 6'6" giraffe. He was fighting cops an elbow. And I didn't know someone could bleed for that long and not faint.
Wow.
Yeah, do you reckon he'd need a blood transfusion after that?
Probably.
He would have lost some, man.
Oh, man.
They should have called it, man. They'd regret not calling that.
What about when he's fighting and he's got, like, he's throwing jabs and stuff and then he's wiping his face with the glove? That's unbelievable.
But the word is from the corner, going off Tim's interview with Ben Damon on Main Event after, was I didn't want to stop. Now, at the fighter... I mean, if the fighter doesn't want to stop, there's only so much the corner can do. And if they chuck in that white towel and the fighter doesn't want to stop, then there's a real problem.
Yeah, but if it's before round four.
Before the start of round four.
Yeah, before the start of round four.
But Tim wasn't thinking that way. He thought, I've got this guy covered, so I want to win this. And heroically.
Obviously, in the moment, you would have assumed the fighter would be, you know, up in arms, I've still got this, but with time, you'd hope they'd win him back.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's easy with the benefit of hindsight.
Especially with the first three rounds, he was so dominant.
I reckon pre-match on this patch of turf, yeah. October.
Allianz.
Be pretty good.
Allianz
as well.
The only thing is
one of the two.
They have to do it where it's enclosed.
No, they've had outdoor fights. The Green Mundine fight.
Yeah, that was outdoor.
Yep, that was at Suncorp.
Suncorp, yep.
Big. Oh, I mean, imagine this joint. We're at Combank Stadium, by the way. 30,000 people on top of the, like, just a really enclosed noise stays in.
Pretty cool.
Allianz, it'd be amazing. So
get some freebies.
The light show.
Some freebies for us.
Hopefully it happens. Reddy, you can be ringside.
Reddy can be a ring girl.
Mate, everyone at our papers is a boxing writer.
Yeah.
So many of them.
Oh.
What'd you say?
Nothing, mate.
I missed that. What did you say?
Okay, it doesn't matter. Here we go. I can hear the postman in the distance.
You can get some free budgie smugglers.
Reedy's mail. Can I tell you, do you know when we went over to a fight, I can't remember where we went to a fight, and Dean Lonninger was promoting Jeff Horn, and he got a couple of the journos to be ring card holders.
Oh, jeez.
For the rounds, yeah.
Who?
I didn't do it.
Who were the journos?
Corbin Middlemass. He's at the ABC. I think it's Corbin Middlemass.
Why didn't you do it?
I don't know. He asked me. Mm. Didn't make the cut.
What about Hoops? They couldn't find him again?
Oh, I don't know anything about that, would you? Anyway, you're in the mail this week, Adam. Apparently you've spoken to Mitch Pearce today about his links with Parramatta.
What happened 3 hours ago.
Yes.
Yes.
And can you get, maybe you should elaborate on Pearce's explanation, but we should share with people what the story was. Apparently Mitch Pearce was, the suggestion was Pearcey and there was a link with Parramatta. He'd maybe reached out to Parramatta or vice versa and about potentially playing while Mitch Moses was sidelined. But you've spoken to him today about this. He's cleared the air a bit on it.
Yeah, this is on the Footy Talk Halves podcast that myself, Todd Carney and Mitch Pearce, just three down-to-earth blokes who just try to keep things
great halves.
Down. Yeah. Exactly. But Mitch said on that podcast that, yes, there was absolutely some form of communication which didn't start with him. It started with, he thinks, someone from the Parramatta club, but through someone else. It didn't come directly from Parramatta, but it certainly wasn't his idea that he cooked up sitting on the couch a couple of weeks ago watching that Manly game thinking, oh, there's an opportunity. I'm going to jump at this. I'm going to ring Brad Arthur in the morning and see if he's got a gig and I'll take my boots to training. No, it came the other way and there was a fleeting interest. But Mitch
hasn't lifted a serious weight in 6 months. He's running a lot, but that's just for general fitness because he wants to do the city to surf. He's doing Ramadan, so playing in a day game, for instance, probably wouldn't be the greatest idea at the moment. So he's completely happy at the moment in retirement and making that transition from competitive rugby league player to general citizen with things he wants to accomplish in life.
Well, I think as well, it's not just as simple as, oh, you're retired, you come and train with us next week and you can back play. There are processes involved with ASADA.
Yeah.
You've got to enter the testing pool for, I think it's at least 30 days. Yeah. So, you know, by the time that you've got a deal sorted and he enters the testing pool, Mitchell Moses is close to being back. And I think if you're Parramatta,
he's happily retired.
I don't know if it's worth it.
He isn't trained.
Yeah. But you said, and I asked Todd, and you guys a bit like when Woodsy, you eventually retired, probably in 5 years' time. Uh-huh. But James, you just after the transition, I'm guessing there's this like opportunity that might come, and there's some minor percentage of you that goes, oh, could I? Would there be? Like, or were you just done?
Well, look, I was fortunate to go out on my own terms, and so was Mitch.
Yeah.
So if you're choosing to retire, Mitch had offers for this year.
Mm.
Both here in Australia and in England, and he turned them down. So he's obviously gone through that, you know, decision making process to come up with the answer of no, I'm going to give the game away. So yeah, okay, time can change things, and you are allowed to change your mind. But fundamentally, you go back to that and go, no, I was content with the decision then, and I'm content with it now. Like it would just be like he's got his memories. He's had his legacy, you know, he's put that chapter of his life to bed. So I think it would be, personally, I think it'd be a mistake if he was to come back.
And he's not going to come back. No. Although he did say later in the year, Reedy, that he might go up and play for Byron Bay with Todd Carney, his good mate, later in the year.
So, worst place to play football than Byron Bay, isn't it?
Worst place to do anything than Byron Bay. Fantastic job.
Which gives a perfect segue to the West Tigers.
Yes.
Oh, I shouldn't say that, sure. listen, we've got a lot of talk about the West Tigers the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They've been talked about this strategic plan they're bringing out. That's actually coming out tomorrow. That's sort of an insight into where the club wants to go down the track. Not in terms of their stadiums, where they want to play out of. It does talk about obviously earning more money, which would entail playing at bigger stadiums and stadiums that grant them more revenue. But they're actually going to set up an office in Campbelltown, which has been a bit of a criticism of the club that they haven't embraced that area enough. They're actually going to set up an office with, I think, 7 staff in Campbelltown to try and cultivate that area and make more out of it. And there's a bit of news that, positive news that they're making some headway with Leichhardt. And it sounds like they're now confident they may get some funding for Leichhardt.
From where?
To save Leichhardt.
Where?
Well, I noticed Elbow came out the other day and said, we need to save Leichhardt over. Yeah. So it
sounds
like...
The state government don't want anything to do. The feds come over the top.
Well, I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm told they've made some headway. Woodsy will be happy. It looks like they get enough money to... The stadium will get the money needed to refresh it.
Harry Triguboff is going to build a 52-storey Meriton and they're going to play on top of that. That's going to be the new Leichhardt.
What are you knocking down this week?
I haven't made a decision yet, Jimmy. There's a lot of options. Yeah. A lot of options.
Any sort of roadworks, any railway plans, a new ferry? What are we doing? Under monorail?
Monorail. Simpsons monorail.
Mate, sorry for trying to help the game. Sorry for trying to save rugby league, Jimmy.
You've done a great job in that.
Listen, they aren't going to play. What they won't do is play 5 games here, though, next year, I don't think.
How do you do
that? No, it doesn't matter how much money they spend on it. They'll reduce the amount of games.
Is this plan going to be public?
Yes, it'll come out tomorrow.
Strategic plan.
So where'd you get the plan from?
I haven't got it yet.
Oh,
didn't you get the email with it?
No. Oh, goes to the members tomorrow.
They were going to release it.
Some people in the media get it a day early, but you obviously haven't got it.
But it gives a full breakdown.
Reedy's had it for a month.
Full breakdown of their finances and where their money's coming from and doubtful and where they
got the
money.
Byron got a copy. Byron got a copy today.
Nah, Chemist might be a chance.
Chemist lost his boys there. Remember, they all got sacked.
No, but he
didn't get sacked. Sorry.
No, but didn't he do a nice piece the other week?
Oh, I did do a sack piece, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Actually, this last bit of mail is a bit related to... Jamie's been doing a bit about Sonia Taruva at Penrith. I spoke to his agent today, Sonia. He's going to have a meeting later this week with him. The Dragons have obviously come out and said they're keen. There's at least 2 other clubs that are keen on him as well.
Who are they? Do we know?
I don't know, no.
We're guessing.
Know who they are.
Educated guess.
Take a stab.
Who's his manager, Eddie?
His manager's Mark Stewart.
Mark Stewart, okay.
Yeah. And later this week, they're going to sit down and have a chat, decide how they want this to play out. He'll talk to those clubs. He'll come back and Penrith will get the final opportunity to put forward their best offer, and then Sunir will have a decision to make. But, yeah, there's at least three clubs who are keen on signing him for next year, so Penrith will have a bit of a battle on their hands. I think there'll be more than that in the end because he's a really good footballer. We saw that on...
He's a bloody good finisher.
Friday night, how good he is.
God, he's hard to stop for
that first try. Yeah. See him step back in and go underneath.
I'm surprised it's only three at the moment. I reckon there'll be at least half a dozen that'll be chasing him, so... Penrith got a battle on their hands.
Gentlemen, some Easter eggs have arrived. So that's us for the Monday scrum, so we can fill our guts.
Stop it.
Thank you for that, Reedy.
No worries.
Jimmy, Woodsy, have a great week of training.
Can't wait.
Hope you train like busted, so you're going to maybe play better next week.
Surely you're back in.
I don't know.
Got to be.
Team list Tuesday, Reedy.
I'm going to give Siebes a ring.
Thanks, everyone. That was the Monday scrum.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.